Transportation Committee, March 23rd, 1982, is open. Let the record show that Representative Metcalf, Representative Sutcliffe, Representative Jarrow, and Representative Keto are in attendance. We have before us today two identical bills having to do with HJR 65, Road to Denali National Park and Preserve, and SJR 53, Road through Denali. With the procedure that we usually go on, we will look at the Senate bill first. We do have a representative here from Representative Haynes' office to speak on the bill. Mr. Levi, would you like to? This one, yeah. No, I don't.
My name is Steve Levi. I'm here representing Speaker Hayes, and I would like to express to you his enthusiasm for this particular proposal. What it basically will do is it'll allow a completed oval throughout McKinley National Park, which will allow traffic to move consistently in a one-way direction. We had some problems last year. We feel that this completion of this road, upgrading of this road, will eliminate that problem. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Mr. Levi? Representative Jarrow?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. It seems to me that in the news there this last summer there was an accident that involved a death or maybe more. Is this the same situation or same road?
It's the same road, but what the extension will allow is traffic to move completely around in a one-way direction. Then you won't have traffic coming at each other on this road. It's very narrow.
In other words, it'll all be a one-way road?
It'll all be a one-way road, yes, sir.
Representative Sutcliffe?
Yes, Steve, I think that'd be a nice thing to think about, but I know the Park Service won't do that. I mean, they're not going to make it a one-way road, because you then it's about 3 hours out to Wonder Lake now, and it'd be about 5 hours probably going the other way, or 4 hours, so you're talking about a seven-hour thing where, and there's hardly any animal activity in this area compared to here, so everybody that drives out to Wonder Lake will, in fact, want to come back to on the same route because of there's something to see. I mean, you can go through the park one hour and see something, and then you'll go back again the next day or 3 hours later and you'll see something else. So I think your feeling that they're going to make it a one-way road is, I don't think they'll do
well,
that.
Well, it allows them the option of making it a one-way road. How the Forest Service wants to run traffic, you know, is up to them, but it does allow the option of moving people in that in a circular direction.
Any other questions of Mr. Levi? This is a resolution to the Department of Interior. Thank you very much, Steve. Mr. Allison, the last environmental
lobby.
I couldn't read that word. Dave, you would like to testify on the bill.
Good morning. My name is Dave Allison. I'm here speaking on behalf of the Alaska Environmental Lobby. It's a coalition of 11 environmental groups around the state. And we are speaking in opposition to the proposed resolutions, both the House and Senate resolutions. Several reasons. The first one is that we feel that contrary to the contention that this would improve safety, in fact, because of the length of the road, we feel that it would cause people, as Representative Sutcliffe pointed out, cause people to tend to try and make the loop in one day. It's a hard road, it's a hard drive. As you know, right now the traffic's limited. Private vehicles are only allowed to go out to Wonder Lake if in fact they're camping in that area. If this were open as a loop road, you'd have more private vehicles on the road. You'd have an increase in traffic. My experience, I spent about a year and a half traveling around the country in the late 70s, visiting most of the national parks and preserves. My experience in talking with park personnel at that time was that wherever you have the opportunity for loop road development, you'll get a substantial increase in traffic. The tourist will generally tend, the visitor will generally tend to take the loop road where they won't, for example, in Big Bend, in Texas, to go there, you have to go down one road and turn around and come back out the same road. People will not generally tend to go then to the park unless they're making that a destination, where if there is a loop, for example, in this case, people traveling from Anchorage to Fairbanks or from Fairbanks to Anchorage, as a lot of visitors do, they'll tend to try and include that loop as part of their trip. So instead of staying and enjoying the park, they'll try and move through it very quickly. At the present time, the provision of the shuttle buses has ensured that only the train drivers, only people who are who have training and have proved competence in handling vehicles on those roads, will in fact travel the road. An analogous situation is in the Everglades, where they have a shuttle system. It's been very effective in reducing, in the northern part of the Everglades, it's been effective in reducing traffic accidents by putting the visitor in the hands of competent drivers. It also allows the visitor the opportunity to look at the wildlife and to look at the environment and enjoy it, rather than constantly having to try and look at the environment at the same time they're driving through. The ideal would be if people were willing to take the time to do it right. Unfortunately, folks on 1 week and 2 week vacations too frequently don't do that. The other points that are the fiscal, this is a terribly expensive proposal. I don't see any numbers attached to it. But the cost of building a road in this kind of terrain is enormous. I believe Secretary Watts said that when he came into the state that he felt that the most important thing we could do with our parks is upgrade the existing systems rather than to and do the maintenance necessary on the roads rather than to try and open up new areas and expand the current uses. While we don't frequently find ourselves in agreement with Secretary Watt, it does appear that this is an instance where both fiscally and environmentally it would make sense to, if we're going to request that the Park Service, the Department of Interior, do something with this with this road, that we look at improving the existing system under the current usage rather than expanding it. Another point fiscally is that if you have a longer road, we're going to have additional personnel assigned to monitor that road and to monitor the uses off the road. That's an increased cost, and we've been told repeatedly by the Department of Interior and our congressional delegation has concurred with the department that we can't afford to put more money into personnel in the park system in the state of Alaska. So from both a fiscal and from a safety standpoint, we feel that it would not be a good idea. And the third, of course, is the purely the environmental. You have an area right now that suffers a very minimal impact, and granted there is some mining that's going on in the back area or northern area of the park, but right now the impact from that is limited specifically to the transportation corridor for access to and from those deposits. To open that up to a regular upgraded road system would have an undefined but clearly increased impact on the entire ecosystem. The state of Alaska fought very hard to bring the entire ecosystem, the entire system into the park, as part of D2. We presented to the federal authorities our argument that if these expansions took place and they were limited as we asked, that we would be good stewards of the properties. I would question whether it would constitute good stewardship to turn around and invite the Park Service then to come back in and open up further areas of the Park Service within a year after we've made these additions to the, I understand, the chief gem and the crown jewels of the park system. So for those three reasons, we would encourage the committee not to recommend that this pass and to hold it for further consideration in the committee.
Are there questions? Representative Jarrell?
Thank you. Didn't get your name. Sorry.
Dave Allison, representative.
You mentioned you represent 11 groups. How many people did you total in membership?
The aggregate membership is approximately 10,000 people in the state of Alaska. These are all Alaska environmental groups. If we eliminate duplicate memberships, which we've not been able to go through and purge our list to do that, I would imagine we'd come up with someplace in the neighborhood of 4,000 members from, including a number of new members in the in Kodiak, a new chapter that's just formed there.
Madam Chairman, just maybe as a note of observation, when we were going through our acquisition or preparation for the acquisition of our PERC license on Terror Lake, one of the concerns that the environmental groups had is that this would remain in a perpetual status, I guess, there in an environmental state, so that people could go and see the beauty of that land, you know, for forever. And I kind of get some conflicting vibrations here. Now, this understanding that this land here has got similar beauty in it, and then we have the opportunity to request access so that people, not only in Alaska and in the United States, but all around the world, would have access to this beauty. But then yet, I find or I hear that the opposition coming from the very people that want the beauty there so that people can see it. And individuals that are handicapped, that cannot get out there to see the majestic mountains and the clear water and the flowers and the animals, will be denied this opportunity without some avenue to get there. Whereas people there that have knapsacks and hiking boots can get out there. So I fail to see the reason for not passing this.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Allison.
If I may, because I think that the point that's raised by Representative Zaroff is a valuable point for consideration. And the use of the park and the opportunity for people to appreciate the beauties of the park is very important. At the current time, the waiting list for people to get into the backcountry of Denali sometimes will range as high as 3 and 4 weeks. The consideration for the people to enjoy the backcountry, and especially the handicapped, has been a major concern of the Park Service as well as the state of Alaska. It's for that reason that we have encouraged, and the Park Service instituted, the shuttle bus system that allows and has provisions for the handicapped to participate in the observation of the wildlife. We do believe that the Terror Lake situation is a situation that eventually was something that could be looked to with pride by the state of Alaska, in that they were able to, through compromise and negotiation, to come to the an agreement that was signed by all of the interests, including the environmental But in terms of this particular issue, we don't see how there would be any restriction from enjoyment of the park by failing to open the open this loop road.
Madam Chairman, I would
Representative Sheridan.
Thank you. I would point out that the second whereas clause from before the be it resolved relates to a tragic accident that occurred with the Denali National Park in terms of the condition of the road. And I think all this resolution here is asking for is the improvement of that road as well as the safety in terms of people and the mobility through the park system. And quite possibly there this may with the proper improvements to the road and even the extension and the continuation loop that we would not see a tragic accident occur such as this. I have full confidence of the public, the private individuals, you know. Many of these people have been driving and surviving the driving situations for many years, and certainly all of the road systems in Alaska are not paved highways. And even people coming up from the lower 48 go through a tremendous ordeal there just to survive on that Alcan. And I don't see them traveling at the same speeds that they would be on that highway. And as with proper improvements on this road, in fact, could probably enhance the usage of this and even reduce the 3 to 4 week backlog of people that you have waiting to get into the park.
Are there further comments? Any further directions for or questions for Mr. Allison? If not, thank you very much, David. And we have Beth Robinson who wishes to testify. Would you state your name for the record?
My name is Beth Robinson, and I'm representing myself. I lived in McKinley Park for 5 years and worked for the Park Service as a backcountry ranger there. I traveled the Stampede Road in the summer. And in the winter, too. I don't think the resolution is a very good idea because the Park Service will never build a road back there. There isn't the money for it right now. It's not in the general plan of the park. And I'm wondering if it's a good idea for the Alaska legislature to recommend that they do so when the chance is so slim that they will. The other point is it's a very expensive road. There are 4 major river crossings. The bridges would be real expensive. I wonder if the state of Alaska would build this road if it were in our jurisdiction to do so. The mining activity in the Kantishna Hills is already, they have access through the existing park roads. The Stampede Mine is currently inactive, although there are still deposits there and there would be some mineral interest in the area, I'm sure, and I'm sure there are other claims in the Kantishna Hills, but they can use Nodwealth in the wintertime, get the ore out, just as Earl Pilgrim did for years and years, which is why the Stampede Road was put in the first place. That my main point would be that people coming to the park would not want to travel one way on a loop road. Lots of people come and take the tours, go to Eielson, and turn around. They don't even go all the way to Wonder Lake. They stay in the park one night. It's part of their West Tours tour package, and they want to see McKinley or Denali, and they get their view of it from Eielson or Stony River Overview. So they go that far and then turn around and go back. Most people would not want to make a trip of this length. On the backside of the outer range, which separates the existing park road from the Stampede Road, once you get back there, you can't see the mountain anyway. When you can, it's just the top part on a clear day, and only from the western part. The wildlife is mostly located between the Alaska Range and the Outer Range. It's channeled there because of the mountains, and that's the main attraction for people coming to the park. They travel the road, and they see all the animals they want to see. On the back side of the park, it's open tundra area. It doesn't have the alpine environment, nor the woods, and there just isn't the wildlife back there. It's been hunted and trapped extensively. Caribou sometimes migrate there, but the McKinley Park caribou herd right now is depressed, so you aren't talking about that many animals. It's not, I mean, there's good moose habitat, especially sanctuary savage rivers where there's trees, but it's not like it is abounding in wildlife and would really add that much to a person's trip. I think that many visitors would feel restricted if they had to go one way. They would prefer to travel the park road as it is now. Now they might like the option of going on the north side of the park if the road were there, but to turn it into a one-way road they would not like. The road is dangerous. It goes along the side of the mountain. There's big drop-offs, and where the accidents have occurred have not even been in a really dangerous situation. It's been a gentle grade, soft shoulder, and a bus tips over. It just gets too close to the edge and rolls over. As far as the road being improved, there are places where I'm sure it could be improved if the Park Service were to put the money into it. But why should the state of Alaska make a recommendation that the Park Service is not likely to follow through on, dilute the effectiveness of the state's voice? And I'm sure the federal government would say, well now, state of Alaska, would you build this road? There are lots of roads in the state which are needed for mineral access, resource development, and this is not the case here. I just don't think it's the best idea.
Are there some questions, Ms. Robinson? If not, thank you very much, Beth, for your testimony. It would be my desire to move the bill out of committee with specific recommendations, individual recommendations. Representative Jerome?
Madam Chairman, I would move that we pass the Senate Joint Resolution 53 with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection to this motion?
I'll take this to be good.
Representative?
I worked in the park for 4 years, so I'm very familiar with it. I drove the tour buses. And there was many times where I almost got into a soft shoulder. And the second to last, whereas, the tragic accident underscores the need for improved transportation facilities. If the whole resolution spoke to asking the Park Service to upgrade the existing road within, you know, the existing road through the park, then I think it would be very, it would be accurate to say that there would be a need for this resolution. But I think to say that the building of the new road through the new area will, in fact, lessen the chances of having another tragic accident, I don't think it's accurate at all. I also feel that the chances of the Park Service extending the road and up and bringing that up to grade are almost non-existent, unless there's perhaps mineral development back there that somebody wants bad enough and wants going to let it occur, because for years we've tried to get them to, when I was working there, to upgrade the existing road, and there just was never the monies to do that. So I feel it's a harmless resolution in the sense that I don't think there's any chance of anything coming from it, and I also think it's an inaccurate one, but I remove my objection.
All right, hearing no objection, then further objection removed. Those in favor of passing the bill from committee, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Jim, did I hear you? Or?
No, I said go ahead.
For the record, then, Representative Metcalf, Senator Duncan, Jarrah, and Keto vote to move the bill out of committee with individual recommendations.
The Senate.
Excuse me for not stating it. It's the SJR 53. Is there any further business coming before the Transportation Committee? If not, then the committee is adjourned.